Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 1-800-NOW-OPEN or open.com.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Most people don't associate jazz with China, but that's just where saxophonist Kenny Garrett went to find the inspiration for his latest album, Beyond the Wall. Kenny Garrett has played with everyone from Miles Davis to Peter Gabriel and Bruce Springsteen. On this album, however, he follows a much more personal calling, namely his own 20-year love affair with Asian culture. Kenny Garrett, welcome to Soundcheck.
How are you doing, John?
Well, so What was the idea behind this trip to China? Was this, I mean, seems like China has attained an almost kind of mythic significance in your mind.
Actually, it has. What I was trying to do, I wrote Beyond the Wall, the song you just heard, prior to going to China with the intentions of getting to China somehow. I always dreamt about going to China. And in 2005, August, I went to Taiwan, mm-hmm. Hong Kong, and Macau. And I met a Chinese person from in Macau. He was from mainland China. And he said, "How you doing, brother?" I said, "Wow, that's interesting." I said, "Well, I really have to go there now." And so in December of 2005, I decided that I really wanted to go. And it wasn't really the right time. It was the whole bird flu and all that stuff was going on. But I was determined to go there. So in 2005, a friend of mine said, "Well, if you want to go, don't stay at the Western hotels. You know, I'll set up some place and you can go there." So I was staying in Old Beijing. And when some of his friends met me at the airport, they took me to the apartment where I was staying at, and they left. I didn't see them after that. They just set me up there. And the next thing I know, I was on my own trying to survive in China.
Did you speak any Mandarin at all?
I had studied a month, but, you know,
A month
is not going to do anything. I mean, I didn't even have, like, survival, you know, Chinese. But the month was really just to get the tones together. When I got there, I was just trying to survive, trying to blend in, really.
Now, you use the word tone. Chinese is a tonal language,
that's,
right?
That's
where
correct.
The same word can mean different things depending on how you sort of inflect it.
That's correct. They actually have four tones, and they actually have five, but one is neutral. You know, so, for example, you have ma, 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 ma. And those are kind of like,
you know, all mean something different.
They all mean something totally different.
Wow. So I guess as a musician, you know, you're perhaps more attuned to that sort of nuance than, you know, the casual tourist might be.
Well, in some ways we're used to, you know, listening more. But I think the Chinese, it's a task, you know, because you have to, I mean, you really have to study those tones for people to understand what you're saying. I remember before I left, I would go to this Chinese restaurant in New Jersey. And the first time I went in, the guy didn't say anything. I was like, wow, maybe he doesn't understand me. I said, "Well, your Chinese is not any good." So I went back again because it's right next to my barbershop. So I would go back again. And so he didn't say anything this time. So the third time I went in, he said, "Well, talk to the old guy there." And so I started speaking to the older guy, and he was responding. It's like, wow, I understand Chinese, you know. So it's just funny. I guess the third time was the best time for him in this case, you know. But it's a difficult language.
So what actually were you looking for? I mean,
well, you know,
this has the sound of a quest, you know, a kind of a personal quest
well,
for you.
I think, you know, I was just really, you know, it's something about the Chinese people that by them being isolated, just felt that made me feel like they were very mysterious, you know, because of the rich history. And I needed to see this for myself. I had been everywhere else, so I wanted to go and see for myself, you know. So just going there, I think, you know, it answers some of my questions, but I have to go back, you know, several times just to, you know, to keep studying.
Right. So, I mean, you were there for what, three and a half weeks?
Well, three weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not really enough time to get to know a country with, you know, 2,000-plus-year culture and history.
No. I mean, three weeks was just enough for me to realize I can't speak Chinese.
So what then did you come away with? I mean, an album came out of it some way or another.
The album came out of it, but I think the thing that I learned about China is that we're all the same. You know, I went there, you know, thinking that, you know, these people were mysterious. And when I got there, I found that they wanted to be loved just like everybody else. They wanted to have security and stability in their life. So it was like the same after, you know, after 3 weeks, you know, what's similar, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to the silk market where you buy a lot of clothing, you know, the name brands. And I went in. My friend said, well, if you really want to practice your Chinese, go to this market. And when you go in this market, you know, you have to negotiate like 70% down. And so the people, when you go in, the you know, they're trying to sell you something, and they don't want you to leave the store. So they try to convince you. So, you know, what do you want to buy? What do you want to buy? How much do you want to pay for it? So they give you a calculator where you can tell them how much you want to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
But they won't let you out of the store. So if you walk out the store, it's almost like a fight, you know, because they're trying to, they know you're going to the next vineyard. And, you know, vendor, and so they know that there's going to be problems. So they'll sometimes you'll see them yelling at the customers and screaming. I mean, it can be nerve-wracking, but it's part of the culture. And then I learned that the people, I used to think that they were arguing all the time. They're not that they're arguing. It's that their voices, they have to be heard.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with sax player and composer Kenny Garrett. His new album is called Beyond the Wall. There are a couple of tracks that on this record that specifically carry the sounds of this almost obsession with China. One of them is the Tsunami song, in which you use the sound of the Chinese, the fiddle, the erhu.
The erhu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this was written after the trip?
Well, actually, the song was written during the tsunami. So that was like 2004.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I had the melody, but I had this sound. I mean, I knew I was looking for a string instrument, but I didn't know what it was until I got to China. When I got to China, I was walking down Old Bay Dream. There was a street. And I remember that I heard the sound. So I walked in this store. It's like a storefront. I knocked on the door. No one answered. So I walked in. And then I knocked on another door where I heard this erhu. And the guy waved me in. And he was just playing this erhu. They loved the erhu there.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, like I said, I didn't know what it was called. And then I found out, and I got back, and I told my manager, well, it's a sound. So he went on the internet to find this musician, and we found him in Chinatown. I went down to Chinatown. I heard him play two notes, and I said, that's it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And this is it from the album Beyond the Wall. It's music by my guest, Kenny Garrett. The album's called Beyond the Wall. This is Tsunami Song by my guest Kenny Garrett, sax player, band leader. What a heck of a band on this record, too. Pharoah Sanders also playing sax, Mulgrew Miller on the piano, and I mean, you just go down the list. And then there's this instrument, the erhu, E-R-H-U is the usual anglicized spelling. Mm. It's a fiddle, but it has a very kind of melancholy, bittersweet quality. Is that what made you think that this was the sound for this song?
Well, I had heard the sound before, but I didn't know what it was, you know, just by listening to Chinese CDs. And, you know, sometimes it's written in Chinese, so I don't know what it was called. So when I got to China, I found it out. But the erhu was a two-string violin. It's a little small box. And you wouldn't believe that that sound, that, that beauty is coming out of this instrument. I mean, if you saw him playing it, you know, just, we were all like, you know, amazed. Our mouths were falling out when we actually heard him playing it.
So now what did you do? I mean, did you walk in and say to him, I want you to play this tune, and then you write something down? I mean, did he read Western notation, or did you hum something to him? How did that work out?
No, actually, I had the music written out in Western notation. And I just, you know, went to him and told him, you know, I explained to him, you know, what I was thinking. And it was also a Korean song that I was listening to. And I said, well, you know, and this is one of the songs I'm thinking about, but this is the music, and I'd just like you to play through it. And I started playing the melody on the piano, and he started playing two songs, and I mean, two notes, and after that, it was just magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you started writing a lot of these songs, or at least several of them, mm-hmm. as you've already told us, before going to China. When you got back, had your view of those songs and the way you approached writing the rest of this record changed?
Well, it changed somewhat, but I didn't have a lot of time to really to add some of the other instruments that I wanted to, because after China, I went to India, and then right after India, I had to start working on the CD. So I didn't really have a lot of time to really incorporate, you know, the other instruments. I mean, I will probably have to do another Beyond the Wall 2 or something.
Right. Now, does Beyond the Wall, does it literally refer to being beyond the Great Wall of China, or is there some other metaphorical meaning?
It actually, in a lot of cases, is a metaphor for a lot of things, but for me, it was really, I actually got a chance to get beyond the wall. Then I actually, you know, climbed the wall, which, you know, was like a double, you know.
And what was did you get stares as an African-American man in living not in a Western hotel but actually in an apartment in the old city? Were you getting stares and glares and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, I definitely did. I mean, they were actually intrigued. I mean, they were more curious about me than I was about them, you know. But once I got there, because people, don't forget, I was in the neighborhood, and then I would walk out, and they were like, wow, what is this guy doing? And I would try to go in the restaurants and order something. And, you know, I needed help a lot of times. But, you know, they were very helpful, you know, and very mm-hmm. warm. And I remember going in one restaurant, and because I saw some people eating some food, I said, well, that's why I'm going there, you know. And I remember one of the ladies there working in the restaurant, she said, my friend would teach you Chinese if you would teach her English. And then I came back the next day. And so she said, well, come and sit with us. And so they started speaking Chinese. So she would turn and say, okay. And then they would talk some more, you know, and then she would say, okay, like, this is what you have to do if you want to learn Chinese. You know, so they were really helpful. You know, but at the same time, trying to teach me about the culture.
Now, I mean, it isn't just a single culture there in China. I mean, there is the dominant ethnic Han majority, right. But, you know, you get out into the western part of the country and you have all kinds of Turkic and, you know, other Central Asian peoples. And then, of course, you have Tibet.
That's right.
Which is a whole nother kettle of fish. And politically, you know, a very difficult topic to tackle, especially while you're there in the country. When you got back here, you actually chose to incorporate a recording of some Tibetan prayer in one of your songs.
Well, you know, actually how that came about, a friend of mine had given me a CD probably about 5 years ago. He said, well, you'll figure out what to do with it. So when I was thinking about China, I remembered the chant, but it was actually a longer version. And so when I got in, had a friend of mine to sample it. And then I started working on it. When I got in the studio, it just turned out that way. But it wasn't really I wasn't thinking about any political thing. I was just thinking about trying to, you know, to make people reflect, you mm-hmm. know, for a moment. Because, you know, we distracted by a lot of things. So I just wanted to have something. And once I heard, you know, like the Tibetan monks, you know, chanting, I was like, well, this is very powerful.
You know? Well, and as you say, it's mm-hmm. chanting. It's not yeah. singing. They don't consider it music. They consider
right.
it prayer.
Right.
For you, is this song sort of built around that kind of spiritual approach?
Oh, it's definitely built around that. I mean, because it's called Realization, and I put Marching Towards the Light because it feels like I'm marching towards this, you know, the light. You know, everything is about, you know, the Creator and, you know, trying to get to that place.
Kenny Garrett is my guest. The album's called Beyond the Wall, and this piece, with its sample of the chant of Tibetan monks, is called Realization.
Thank you.
It's called Realization, subtitled Marching Towards the Light by Kenny Garrett, the alto sax player. I think we're just hearing you entering here as the song begins to fade out. But basically, you started with this sample of the Monks, and then what? Sort of built the piano part on top, and how did that happen?
Well, we actually used the sample as more of a time. It was really the glue of the song. And then I wanted to kind of put like a meditative kind of prayer on top of that, on top of the prayer, or something that would make it sound like it was sticking.
Right.
Make it more cohesive, you know?
Yeah. Not too long ago, the pianist Randy Weston released an album in which he sort of drew parallels or connections between the cultures of Africa and China.
Hmm.
Are you doing a similar thing, do you think, with this music?
I think the initially that's what I was trying to do. I remember I had like a violin book I had bought in Ireland, and I remember I was playing through one of the etudes, and I remember thinking, wow, this sounds like African music. And they both used a pentatonic scale, and so I decided that I would have a dialogue that I was going to have Pharaoh playing the African part, and I was going to be playing the Chinese part. But like it was so many songs I had already, I couldn't really get to that. But that was really the idea. And also I had read some, you know, I was reading like health books where some of the African and Chinese philosophies were similar, you know. And so I was just trying to find that correlation in the music. And you know, that mm-hmm. was really the idea. There's a song that I wrote on this CD called Guoka where I go to Guadeloupe, which is part of the French Caribbean, and they have this guoka with a drum, and that's really like a call and response. So that was one of the tunes that has to do with Africa, but I was trying to find a way that I can actually mix Chinese and Africa together.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that both cultures have in their traditions this mm-hmm. idea of music as having, you know, sort of healing mm-hmm. properties and stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's certainly a connection.
Right.
The pentatonic scale, for folks who don't have a PhD in mm-hmm. musicology, can you explain, or just hum it for us or something?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure they heard it, but it's really just a 5-note scale that we use instead of in Westernized music. We take out the fourth and the seventh. They take out the fourth and the seventh. And so if you go da 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 ba da da, they just have 5 notes, and so they use that. So the fourth and seventh is taken out. And in Western music, we leave the fourth and seventh in. And so, you know, it kind of makes you have to play the notes and put them in a different segment.
Right. And mm-hmm. so you find it in Irish folk music, in
right.
Japanese court music,
right.
in African traditional music, really
right.
all over the world, even in country Western and
that's
blues.
True. That's
yeah.
true.
And apparently in jazz sometimes.
That's right.
So Kenny Garrett's my guest. The album's called Beyond the Wall. We mentioned Pharoah Sanders and Mulgrew Miller. Great rhythm section as well. Robert Hurst III on bass mm-hmm. and Brian Blades on drums mm-hmm. and Bobby Hutcherson vibes. The erhu player from here in Chinatown was Guo Wei Wang.
That's correct.
And then you have a couple of other guests. Some classical players are on the record too.
Yeah, that's true. We have cello, we have harp, we have bass, we have gongs, you know, we mm-hmm. have singers, we have everybody here.
So there's an awful lot going into it. Yeah. Beyond the Wall is the name of the record. It's dedicated to McCoy Tyner.
That's correct. You know, McCoy has inspired me for a lot of years. I mean, you know, since John Coltrane and the Great Quartet. But what I wanted to do, I wanted to dedicate a CD to someone who's living. You know, a lot of times we dedicate CDs to people who have passed, and no one has ever come back to say that they got that dedication. So I say, you know, I wanted to start doing this, you know, now, you know, for the moment. You know.
All right. Well, the piece that we're hearing in the background is the aforementioned Guoka. And it's from the album by Kenny Garrett called Beyond the Wall. Kenny, a real pleasure having you here in the studio. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I want to mention one thing, John, that I'm going to be at Birdland starting tomorrow, the 3rd through the 7th, at 9 and 11.
Okay. And that'll be, so two sets a night.
Two sets a night.
Okay, 9 and 11. And today's pop albums keep getting louder, so loud that several major industry figures have spoken out against the practice lately. We'll be finding out why that's happening in just a moment. A little bit of music from Kenny Garrett, and you're listening to Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.